Welcome to Zikhu Daf Sim Money Member by Avram Goldar, and today Mazakh's Bab Basra Daf Tez Bab, the first parak hashutafin. This parak has been generously sponsored by Zeichen Nishmas Avram Ben Yitzchak. May his neshama have an aliyah, and as a schus for Rufua Shlemer for Alter Ben Sion Wolf Ben Sipora. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, a braisa teaches the authorship of the Sforim of Tanakh. It states that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah, but that Yehoshua wrote the last eight psukim. This is the Malchukas Tanaim. Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Nechemiah say that since it's impossible for Moshe to have written V'yamasham Moshe and Moshe died there, we must say that Yehoshua wrote these psukim. Rabbi Shimon objected, is it possible that Moshe's Torah was missing even a single letter? But the pasuk implies it was complete. Rather, until this point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would dictate to Moshe, and Moshe would repeat it and write it. But for the final eight psukim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would dictate, Moshe kosev b'dama, and Moshe would write with tears. Rav said, Shmona psukim shibator yachin korosan. Regarding the last eight psukim of the Torah, a single person must read them during Kriyas Torah, and they cannot be interrupted. The Gemara suggests that this falls Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that Yehoshua wrote them, so their laws are different. However, it answers that even if Moshe Rabbeinu wrote them, oil v'ishtanu ishtanu, since they were written differently, meaning with tears, they're different from the rest of the Torah. Pointing to the Braisa taught that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Iyov. This supports Rabbi Levi Bar Lachma, who said Iyov lived in Moshe Rabbeinu's time. Rav says he lived at the time of the Meraglim sent by Moshe, and when he told them to see Hayesh ba'etz, whether there are trees in Eretz Yisrael, he meant Yeshno la'osa adam sheshenosav aruchos ga'etz. There's a certain man, Iyov, living in Eretz Yisrael, whose years are many like a tree's, umagin adoro ga'etz, and who protects his generation like a tree protects it with its shade. A certain scholar said before Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Iyov l'haya v'la nivra, Iyov never lived and was never created, el amashal haya. Rather, the story of Iyov is a mashal. Rav Shmuel objected that a pasuk clearly indicates that he lived. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar said that Iyov was among those who ascended from the exile in Babel, and his base midrash was in Tiberia. They were challenged from a brisa which clearly identifies Iyov as a pious man of the other nations and concludes that Iyov's identity is a malchokas Tanaim. In a brisa, Tanaim identify him variously as someone from the time of the Shoftim, Achashverosh, Malchus Shva, or the time of Yaakov. All Tanaim hold he was Jewish except the latter opinion. And point number three, the Gemara commences a lengthy discussion of the story of Iyov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked the Satan from where he was coming. And the Gemara darshans his response as saying, Rabbono Shalom, Shatidi Becholam Kulo, Master of the World, I have traveled the entire world. V'masasi Namon Ka'avdecha Avram, and I have not found anyone as loyal as your servant Avram, whom you told he would receive Eretz Canaan. Yet, when he could not find a place to bury Sar without paying 400 silver shkalim, or hira achma dosecha, he did not think questioningly about your ways. HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded, have you seen my servant Iyov? He ain't kamohu ba'aretz, for there's none like him on earth, whose virtues HaKadosh Baruch Hu details. Rabbi Yochanan said, Gadol ha'namar b'Iyov, yosem emash ha'namar b'Avram. Greater is the praise said regarding Iyov than that which was said about Avram. Avram is referred to as Yareel Elohim, one who fears Hashem, but Iyov was called Ish Tam v'Yosha, Yareel Elohim v'Sarmei Ra, a perfect and upright man who fears HaKadosh Baruch Hu and turns away from evil. The Satan protested that Iyov was especially blessed, and the Gemara describes his miraculous blessings. Whoever took even a pruta from Iyov was blessed, and his sheep killed wolves. The Gemara adds that he tasted of Olam Haba in that his plants grew immediately after seeds were planted. So once again, the 3 points are number one. A braisa teaches the authorship of the Sforim of Tanakh. It states that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah, but that Yehoshua wrote the last eight psukim. This is the Malchukas Tanaim. Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Nechemiah say that since it's impossible for Moshe to have written V'yamasham Moshe and Moshe died there, we must say that Yehoshua wrote these psukim. Rabbi Shimon objected, is it possible that Moshe's Torah was missing even a single letter? But the pasuk implies it was complete. Rather, until this point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would dictate to Moshe, and Moshe would repeat it and write it. But for the final eight psukim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would dictate, Moshe kosev b'dama, and Moshe would write with tears. Rav said, Shmona psukim shibator yachin korosan. Regarding the last eight psukim of the Torah, a single person must read them during Kriyas Torah, and they cannot be interrupted. The Gemara suggests that this falls Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that Yehoshua wrote them, so their laws are different. However, it answers that even if Moshe Rabbeinu wrote them, oil v'ishtanu ishtanu, since they were written differently, meaning with tears, they're different from the rest of the Torah. Pointing to the Braisa taught that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Iyov. This supports Rabbi Levi Bar Lachma, who said Iyov lived in Moshe Rabbeinu's time. Rav says he lived at the time of the Meraglim sent by Moshe, and when he told them to see Hayesh ba'etz, whether there are trees in Eretz Yisrael, he meant Yeshno la'osa adam sheshenosav aruchos ga'etz. There's a certain man, Iyov, living in Eretz Yisrael, whose years are many like a tree's, umagin adoro ga'etz, and who protects his generation like a tree protects it with its shade. A certain scholar said before Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Iyov v'haya v'ha nivra, Iyov never lived and was never created, el mashal haya. Rather, the story of Iyov is a mashal. Rabbi Shmuel objected that a pasuk clearly indicates that he lived. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar said that Iyov was among those who ascended from the exile in Babel, and his base midrash was in Tiberia. They were challenged from a brayso which clearly identifies Iyov as a pious man of the other nations and concludes that Iyov's identity is a malchokas Tanaim. In a brayso, Tanaim identify him variously as someone from the time of the Shoftim, Achashverosh, Malchus Shva, or the time of Yaakov. All Tanaim hold he was Jewish except the latter opinion. And point number three, the Gemara commences a lengthy discussion of the story of Iyov. Kodesh Baruch Hu asked the Satan from where he was coming, and the Gemara darshans his response as saying, Rabbono Shalom, Shatidi Becholam Kulo, Master of the World, I have traveled the entire world, V'masasi Namon Ka'avdecha Avram, and I have not found anyone as loyal as your servant Avram, whom you told he would receive Eretz Canaan, yet, when he could not find a place to bury Sar without paying 400 silver shkalim, or Hira Achmer Dosecha, he did not think questioningly about your ways. HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded, have you seen my servant Iyov? He ain't kamohu ba'aretz, for there's none like him on earth whose virtues HaKadosh Baruch Hu details. Rabbi Yochanan said, Gadol ha'nemar b'Iyov, Yosef m'mash ha'nemar b'Avram. Greater is the praise said regarding Iyov than that which was said about Avram. Avram is referred to as Yarei Elohim, one who fears Hashem, but Iyov was called Ish Tamba Yasha, Yarei Elohim v'sar me'ra, a perfect and upright man who fears HaKadosh Baruch Hu and turns away from evil. The Satan protested that Iyov was especially blessed, and the Gemara describes his miraculous blessings. Whoever took even a pruta from Iyov was blessed, and his sheep killed wolves. The Gemara adds that he tasted of Olam Haba in that his plants grew immediately after seeds were planted. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Tezvav, and our standard Siman relates to Tu B'Shvat, and we use fruit, but to make it a little more distinct, we use a fruit bowl. A fruit bowl, therefore, is our Siman. So here goes. The fruit bowl the writer used to collect his tears as he wrote the last eight lines in his Sefer was Iyov-themed, featuring a tree giving shade and the word mashal, as well as a picture of him standing next to Avram Avinu. Once again, slow motion. The fruit bowl, that must be one Daf Tezvav, Tu B'Shvat, fruit bowl. The fruit bowl the writer used to collect his tears as he wrote the last eight lines in his Sefer, which reminds the Gemara brings Malchus regarding who wrote the last eight psukim of the Torah, which include the words Vayamasha Moshe, and Moshe died there. Rav Yehuda says it's impossible that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote them, it was Yehoshua. Rabbi Shimon objected and said that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote them and that he wrote them with tears. So the fruit bowl the writer used to collect his tears as he wrote the last eight lines in his Sefer was Iyov theme, featuring a tree giving shade and the word mashal, which reminds us the Gemara brings him a focus regarding when Iyov lived. Rava says he lived in the time of the Meraglim sent by Moshe Rabbeinu, and when he told him to see a yesh ba'etz, whether there are trees in Eretz Yisrael, he meant there's a certain man Iyov living in Eretz Yisrael whose years are many like a tree's, umagin al dorokeitz, and who protects his generation like a tree protects with its shade. A certain scholar said before Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Iyov v'hayav v'nivra, Iyov never lived and was never created, el mashal hayav. Rather, the story of Iyov is a mashal. Rav Shmuel objected that a pasuk clearly indicates that he lived. So, the fruit bowl the writer used to collect his tears as he wrote the last eight lines in his Sefer was Iyov theme, featuring a tree giving shade and the word mashal, as well as a picture of him standing next to Avram Avinu, which reminds us that after the Satan said that he traveled the entire world and could not find a Nemon like Avram Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded, have you seen my servant Iyov? Ki ein kamohu ba'aretz, for there's none like him on earth whose virtues Hashem details. Rabbi Yochanan said, Gadol ha'nemar b'Iyov, Yosef m'mash ha'nemar b'Avram. Greater is the praise said regarding Iyov than that which was said about Avram. Avram is referred to as a Yarei Elohim, one who fears Hashem, but Iyov is called Ish Tamba Yasha Yarei Elohim v'sar me'ra, a perfect and upright man who fears Hashem and turns away from evil. So once again, the fruit bowl the writer used to collect his tears as he wrote the last eight lines in his Sefer was Iyov theme, featuring a tree giving shade and the word mashal, as well as a picture of him standing next to Avram Avinu. All right, so now it's time to go to our four Blabach Chazara. Daf Yudolf. So the Siman Daf Yudolf is stars like the 11 stars in Yosef's dream. So here goes. The Gabbai Tzedak who gave away his personal 11 golden stars. Stars? That must mean we're on Daf Yudolf. The Gabbai Tzedak who gave away his personal 11 golden stars to save a woman and her seven sons during a famine, which reminds us, the Gemara relates the incident of Binyamin HaTzadik, who was in charge of the communal tzedakah fund, who gave away from his own wealth to save a starving woman and her seven children during a famine, and relates that King Mumbaz gave away of his treasuries and his ancestors' treasuries during years of famine, and explained to his family the six benefits of his actions over his father's. So the Gabbai Tzedakah who gave away his personal 11 golden stars to save a woman and her 7 sons during a famine, divided his star-shaped courtyard with his partner, each receiving Dalet Amos for the courtyard and Dalet Amos for their doorways. Which reminds us, the next mission teaches how large a jointly owned property must be in order for one partner to demand a division. For example, Chas requires Dalet Amos for each partner, and it concludes Zehaklal. Anything which would be divided and retains its name, we divide. If not, neither partner can force a division. The Gemara adds that space is also required in a chatzer to allow Dalet Amos in front of each entrance to enable unloading. Thus, a chatzer would require 8 Amos for each partner. Rav Huna said that a chatzer is divided according to its entrances. So, the Gabbai Tzedakah who gave away his personal 11 golden stars to save a woman and her 7 sons during a famine, divided his star-shaped courtyard with his partner, each receiving Dalet Amos for the courtyard and Dalet Amos for their doorways, and tried to block the area in front of his chatzer leading to the Mavui, but was prevented by the other residents who didn't want that. Which reminds us, Rav Huna said that if a resident of a Mavui wants to enclose the area opposite his chatzer's entrance to the Mavui, the other residents of the Mavui can prevent him from doing so, because it'll increase the way for them, since they'll have to walk around the enclosure. Daf Yud Beis, so this is Daf Yud Beis, is 12 brothers. So here goes. The 12 brothers, that must be on Daf Yud Beis. The 12 brothers were all chachamim with prophetic powers, enabling them to be mechaven the halacha Moshe Mesinai, which reminds us, Rav Avdimi from Haifa said, "Miyom shachar beis hamikdash, from the day the first beis hamikdash was destroyed, nitl nevu min hanavim, v'nitno chachamim. Prophecy was taken from the prophets and given to the sages. Although sages were also nevim, he means that nevu was not taken away from sages. Rav Ashi says a great sage will say something which is found to have been taught halacha Moshe Mesinai." So the 12 brothers were all chachamim, with prophetic powers enabling them to be mechaven to halacha Moshe Mesinai, heard a shota announce in the marketplace who the next Rosh Hashiva will be, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said that after the first base of Mikdash was destroyed, nitl nevu min hanavim, but nitl hashotim latinokos, prophecy was taken from the prophets and given to deranged people and children. Marba Rav Ashi once heard a shota say in the marketplace of Mechuza, the Rosh Hashiva being appointed Mechassi signs his name as Tavyumi. Marba Rav Ashi, who signed this way, realized it was an opportune time to obtain the position, and the Gemara relates what then happened. So the 12 brothers who all chachamim with prophetic powers, enabling them to be mechaven to halacha Moshe Mesinai, heard a shota announce in the marketplace who the next Rosh Hashiva will be, and went to ask him to settle the argument over the inheritance of a coveted field right next to one brother's land. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a machlokas if brothers can object to one brother asking for land from their father's estate which borders his land. Daf Yud Gimel. So the simur Daf Yud Gimel is a bar mitzvah boy. So here goes. The bar mitzvah boy, that must be on Daf Yud Gimel. The bar mitzvah boy who told his twin brother regarding a small piece of land given to them, either you set a price for my share and buy it, or I'll set a price for yours, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Yidov Amidov had taught the minimum size of various property types for one partner to demand a division. The Gemara discusses the options of a partner in a smaller property. Rav Yehuda says, East Dinah the good or a good, there is a law that one partner can say, either you set a price for my share and buy it, or I'll set a price for your share and buy it, and thereby force an end to the partnership. Rav Nachman says, "Leis dinah the good or agud." So the bar mitzvah boy who told his twin brother regarding a small piece of land given to them, either you set a price for my share and buy it, or I'll set a price for yours. As his brother was doing the same regarding two maidservants with different skill sets they inherited, which reminds us, we learned that the case of two brothers splitting two maidservants with different skill sets is not a case of good or agud, since each brother needs both of the maidservants. So the bar mitzvah boy who told his twin brother regarding a small piece of land given to them, either you set a price for my share and buy it, or I'll set a price for yours, as his brother was doing the same regarding two maidservants with different skill sets they inherited, was sure to get into another conflict when they were given one single scroll that contained all of Tanakh as a bar mitzvah gift, which reminds us, in a brace where Merit says, Madbig adn Torah Nevim Ksubim Ke'echod, a person may attach scrolls of Torah, Nevim, and Ksubim together into a single scroll. Yehuda says he can combine different volumes, but the Torah, Nevim, and Ksuvim must each be an independent scroll. The Chachamim say, Goech ve'ech b'fnei asmo, each and every volume of Nevim and Ksuvim must be its own scroll. Daf Yadalad, so the Simon Daf Yadalad is a yad, a hand, and we use a juggler for the Simon. So here goes. The worker is constructing a golden armor distracted by a juggler. Juggler, that must be more Daf Yadalad, hand, yad. The work is constructing a golden aron were distracted by a juggler, and instead of making it 15 by 9 tfachim and storing the Sefer Torah inside, which reminds us, Remer taught in a bright said that the aron's measurements were given in amos of 6 tfachim each. Therefore, the aron was 15 tfachim long and 9 tfachim wide, and the Torah was stored inside. So the workers constructing a golden arm were distracted by a juggler, and instead of making it 50 by 9 tefachim and storing the Sefer Torah inside, they made it 12.5 by 9.5 tefachim and had to store the Sefer Torah outside, which reminds us, Rav Yehuda holds the arms of Amos were of 5 tefachim each, so it was 12.5 long by 7.5 tefachim wide, and the Torah was stored outside. So the workers constructing a golden arm were distracted by a juggler, and instead of making it 50 by 9 tefachim and storing the Sefer Torah inside, they made it 12.5 by 9.5 tefachim and had to store the Sefer Torah outside, and were shocked when the juggler named each one of his juggling balls after one of the Nevi'im and recited them in order, which reminds us the Gemara brings the order of the Nevi'im and Ksuvim. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1, which daf do we learn that when Goyim gives tzedakah, it's considered a chet for them since they give for ulterior motives? That's on daf. Good. Number 2, which daf is Eov compared to Avram Avinu? That's on daf. Tezvav. Good. Number 3, which daf do we mark is where the Torah, Nevi'im and Ksuvim can be in one scroll? That's on daf. Yud Gimel. Good. Number 4, which of the one that the din of good or agud does not apply to a case of two brothers splitting two maidservants with different skill sets? That's on daf. Yud Gimel. Good. Number 5, which daf do we learn according to Rabbi Meir, the arm's dimensions were 15 by 9 tefachim and the Torah was stored inside? That's on daf. Yadal. Good. Number 6, which daf do we learn is whether we investigate a neem coming to collect for food or clothing? That's on daf. Task. Good. Number 7, which daf do we learn is regarding who wrote the last 8 psukim of the Torah, Moshe or Yehoshua? That's on daf. Tezvav. Good. Number 8, which something when the Rabbi Yochanan said that after the first base of Migdash was destroyed, Nevuah was taken from the Nevi'im and given to Shotim and children? That's on daf. Yud Beis. Good. Number 9, which daf do you discuss the order of Nevi'im and Ksuvim? That's on daf. Yud Dal. Good. And number 10, which daf do we malchus regarding when Eov lived? That's on daf. Tezvav. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.